Hey guys, welcome back to the Fight Factory podcast. It's episode two. Today we're going to get Jules the Jackal on. He's the former Nitro Bantamweight champion and he's now making his debut at Featherweight for the XFC. So I hope you guys enjoy that. And don't forget to check us out at thefightfactory.com.au.
All right, guys, our next guest is Jules the Jackal. He's the former Australian Bantamweight champion and he recently signed with the XFC. Thanks for coming on the show.
Not a problem at all, mate. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, so what's been happening over the weekend?
Oh, mate. Bit of training, working, you know. That's about it, mate. That's my life. Go to work, go to training, go home, go to bed, wake up, do it again.
All right. So, yeah, we'll just get into it. I've got a few questions here lined up already, so... how do you feel that has MMA grown over the last few years? Is there more guys to train with, more guys to fight in the lighter weights, or has nothing changed at all since the UFC came back in 2010?
Oh man, it's changed. Like I mean, you got more people. You got more people following a lot more interest in the sport, obviously. But these people that have just come up in the last year or two, they've got no part in my camp or my training anyway, or any professionals at this stage anyway, because you know, they're not at that level yet. But so in the last 2 years, I mean, the doors and windows have opened up to you know, to for MMA to be in everyone's household and be a sport that's spoken upon, you know, in numerous families and numerous different, you know, kinds of people. It's not just for the fighters anymore. It's become quite popular, and there's a lot more people getting behind the sport and attending these fight shows. And I mean, you know, it's changing in that respect, because I mean, without those guys coming to them shows, those shows can't get bigger, and you know, we can't get paid and get the publicity and everything like that. So I think in that respect, it's definitely grown and it's definitely changed. But I mean, as far as training and inside the gym goes, I mean, I don't know if too much is changing at all.
So it's still a couple of years to go before we start getting a few more high level guys coming through.
Yeah, I mean, we've got a few high level guys now going overseas and coming back, and I guess that shares, you know, that they share their experiences, you know, with the others, and you know, gives other guys in the gym an opportunity to learn new things and better their game, you know, as an athlete and as a fighter, and you know, they share those, you know, they go over there and pick up little secrets and bring them back to us. So, yeah, that's always good. But I mean, there hasn't really been anyone, you know, from, you know, overseas come out here to train and to work with us up and coming fighters of Australia.
Yeah, yeah. What about, I suppose, you know, if a couple of these new guys that are coming through, is there any sort of chance that these guys are going to be able to train full time and purely fight, or is Australia still a few years behind and you're going to have a full time job, part time job plus fight professionally?
Oh man, you know, I don't even know. I mean, I don't know what it's like overseas for fighters, but over here, definitely, you know, you can't just, you know, you can't get by just fighting. It just hasn't got that level yet, you know. I mean, we all try and just be fighters, and you know, let our jobs go and try and do what we can to get by and just train full time. But it's hard, man. Not many guys get through it for too long before breaking and going back to work. And that's the thing. So many great fighters in our country have struggled because of the money. And as everyone knows, you know, it's around the clock sort of work. There's no days off in this sport. You can't afford to, and you can't miss a moment. You can't miss a minute. You can't miss an hour. You know what I mean? So just getting those couple hours in every day sometimes feels like it may not be enough.
Yeah, yeah.
I definitely think that, you know, we in this country, you know, as far as MMA goes, no one's just fighting and not working. You know what I mean? If they are, I mean, as I have before in the past, I ate fucking Weet-Bix for dinner, mate.
Well, I think I even, like, remember, like, Frankie Edgar saying, like, when he first had his title shot, he was still working as a plumber full-time. So, you know, maybe even over in the States, they're not getting those opportunities.
That's what I'm thinking, man. Before coming to MMA, I was a professional footballer, and even the football players have to work. And I remember being blown away when I was a youngster. I got my first scholarship overseas in the UK, and I remember seeing Andy Cole from Manchester United working in a fish and chip shop, and it fucking shocked me. You know, that's crazy. And I mean, that was before he blew up, but at the same time, he was still first team, you know, at Man United under Alex Ferguson under the time. And, you know, people, you know, with money like English football, I mean, fuck, if you can't you know, if you've still got to work in the fish and chip shop, mate, you know, it doesn't really give us much fucking hope.
And just in case, you know, not everybody knows, you got a new tooth.
Oh, yeah, mate, you noticed it's that. It's
glistening on the screen.
That's it there.
What's that? Yeah. What is it, 18 karat white gold, or what are we talking?
I don't know how many carats it is, man. It's white gold. I think it would be about 18 carat, yeah.
Yeah, nice. So how long do you reckon before we might see an Aussie challenging for a world title in one of the bigger promotions?
For the UFC?
Yeah, like UFC or maybe even like Bellator or something. Do you reckon that's, you know, 5-10 years away or?
Oh, man, who knows? I mean, it's hard to say. I couldn't tell you, man. I know there is a lot of talent. I mean, you know what? We might have. I mean, with Tahuna and Shogun having that fight back in Sydney, I think if it had gone the other way, and you know, he didn't get clipped, he might have been in the running for something. You know, he might have been close now. So we are there. We're getting there. We're climbing. I know. You know, Soteropoulos is. He got close too at one stage there. You know,
I think
go for it, man.
I was just thinking, like, Ireland about 2 years ago didn't have anyone either. They were just doing regional shows and stuff. So, you know,
yeah.
Maybe we just need someone to start talking the talk and walking the walk.
Mate, I definitely think it helps. I mean, we're talking about Conor McGregor right now, and he's leading proof of what your mouth can get you. You know what I mean? I reckon he's living proof of that whole fake it till you make it. I mean, it can't take away from the guy that he's got the fucking skills. You know what I mean? And he's got the work ethic and everything like that. He's great, but I mean, he hasn't had to put up a fight yet. These guys have been beat before they even get in there. It has everything to do with the way he carries on outside of the cage and the way that he affects the way people think. It's different when someone small time like me is doing it or whatnot, because I don't bring fucking millions of people. And that's the thing, is that he has the opportunity to be on a big screen, and with the more people, the more whispers, the more energy that gets inside you, the more you're going to fold, the more you're going to believe it. So the more people that get behind, you know, someone's word like that, the more impact it's going to have on the opponent. So, I mean, I'm only on the small screen right now. There I am down there on the bloody little passport photo down there. But the funny thing is, you know, when these guys are doing it, the same thing, and when they get up there on the big screen, they're bringing in you know, thousands and millions of people, of viewers, and that's what I mean. It brings on a different type of energy. And, you know, if people struggle at this, you know, level, I mean, when they get up there, it's going to be a lot harder, that's for sure. The pressures of fighting, or the things that people put you under, or what your opponent puts you under, and then you go in there and fight and perform. So that sort of stuff does have a big impact on people, whether they say it doesn't or not. It does. You know, yeah, we're bloody human. We've got feelings, we've got emotions, you know what I mean? That's something we cannot control. There ain't no defense for that, I promise you.
Well, yeah, I guess that's something you've done on like a smaller scale, is you try and win the fight before you get in there. So like, how early in your career did you realize that that's what you know, it's part of the game anyway, it's something that helps?
I mean, I started doing that, I mean, from the get-go, really. People were okay with it when I started, because not many people knew much about it, or not many people knew, you know, anything about me. And then as I kept doing it, it just grew and grew and grew, and half of it was just humor for my followers, and the other half was serious shit for my opponents. And you know, I try and combine the two as a form of hype, as a form of entertainment, as a form of interest, as a form of, you know, a story, creating a fucking fight. That's what I like to do. I mean, I know people say that, you know, the matchup has created the fight, but, you know, I like to create a little bit more reason than that.
Yeah. Oh, it seems to be working, you know. Like, I live in the Northern Territory and I'm hearing about you, and you're over in Queensland, so, you know, we don't really hear too much about the shows over in Queensland. We've heard a fair bit about what's happening down in Melbourne and that, but, yeah, your name came up. And it was through stuff like doing your videos and weigh-in videos, stuff like that, that got some attention. So it's working.
Yeah, well, I hope it does. But whether it does or doesn't work on the opponent, I like to, you know, people enjoy it, you know what I mean? You know, I keep saying this, and I've said it time and time again in many interviews, and this is – MMA is show business now, you know what I mean? I mean, you've got to fight. You know, you've got to have the ingredients to perform and to win. But you know, what can make a recipe a little bit better? You know, what little spices and what little herbs can we add to the broth to make a little bit more of a punch? You know what I mean? Some more flavor, and that's all I'm trying to do is do everything that I can. You know what? I fucking like it. I have fun doing it. It amuses me. I have a laugh out of it. You know what I mean? It makes me fucking laugh.
Yeah, I mean, so you've been having a bit of fun with it, but have you ever had to do it, you know, for a personal reason? Has it been someone that you fought that actually got you started?
There's been nothing really personal. I think the closest it's ever got was me and another fellow. We fought two times, and we just kept having words with each other back and forward. Neither of us were wrong, and neither of us were right. We just didn't like each other, and it just grew on us. And there was no reason behind it. And he's, you know, I don't have a problem with him, and I know he doesn't have a problem with me. I think it was more fun and games, but sometimes it did get personal. Yeah, sometimes it got personal, but I mean, it's a fucking fight. I mean, how much more personal can it get? You know, we're punching each other around, we're trying to knock each other out. I mean, yeah. You know, shit can get personal, I take a lot to heart. So,
I was listening to a podcast with Brendan Schaub on the other day, and they were talking about overtraining. He goes, "Hell yeah, I'm going to overtrain. Everything I want is happening in 8 weeks. You know, like every goal he's ever had set for himself is in 8 weeks." He goes, "What would you do? Would you just do, you know, hour here and there? Or would you just try and kill yourself to make sure you're 100% ready?" So, I mean, there's a lot on the line every time you go out to fight, even on, like, the Australian shows and that. You know, like, one or two good wins with the XFC, and we might see you on the next Australian card in the end of next year, maybe.
Mate, that's exactly my goal. That's exactly what I'm coming to do, and that's exactly what I'm gonna do. And I'll do anything it takes. I will literally give my fucking left. I'll give both my nuts. And mate, if you want an arm, you can have that too. Yeah. To get that, you know what I mean? I'm doing everything I can. I'm throwing everything in there to make that happen. Signing with XFC is the main reason why, that's the main reason why I've done that, is because that's what I want. I want to be on that card. I want to be good enough to be on that card. I want to work as hard as I can to take the heads off these next three people they're going to throw in front of me. I want to be the nut. I don't even want to put my hand up. I want to sit back and I want them to call my name, and I want to make that happen. And that's exactly what I'm coming to do. People will see. There's nothing more I can say. I can have said it all. It's just now I'm coming to do it. I'm coming to make that happen. Being stopped losing my last fight. It was the best thing that happened to me. There's nothing in my way. I needed a bit of a fucking wake up, and it happened. And it was, there couldn't have been a better time in my life for it. There's nothing slowing me down. There's nothing in my way. I'm coming for that, and that's what I'm gonna do.
Yeah, yeah. Well, talking about that last fight that you had, that was at bantamweight. Like, what are you walking around at normally? What would you usually weigh?
Oh, man, bantamweight me was walking around at about 80, high 70s, nearly 80 kilos. Yeah, I'd say 80 kilos.
Yeah, I suppose that comes into a little bit about that overtraining and that, you know, you put a lot of strain on your body cutting, you know, 17, 18 kilos to make that, you know, once every few months. That's a lot of strain on your body. How do you think you'll go moving up a weight division now?
It's 66 kilos is going to be like a fucking dream for me. I don't know why I didn't pull the pin on bantamweight earlier. I think I was so confident and so eager to get that Nitro title. I was so eager to get that. And then once I did, it was a long stretch even getting there. I didn't feel the best even fighting Chris Morris. Sorry, Cool Bones. I didn't feel the best in that fight even. And then when they asked me to fight Ben 10, I thought that was a great opportunity. The guys, you know, training overseas with Brian Eversole, and he's former American kid, and his caliber was up there. I thought, yeah, I can really prove to myself, you know. I accepted the fight to get that to defend that belt, and probably shouldn't have, but I did. They say a champion isn't a real champion unless he defends his title. Yep. And I thought, you know, it's before handing it back in, before going up to 66, I think I'll give it one more shot. And it was a long, long last stretch for me. And I came in overcooked, and it showed on the night. What can you do?
Yeah.
It's gonna be a lot better for me at 66. I can't wait. I feel good now. I'm walking around in a lean 70 kilos. I've never been so dedicated. I've never been so lean. I've never been so small before a fight. You know, 5 months I've got until then. Sitting around this weight, fit, I'm ready. I'm waiting, you know what I mean? Excited about this XFC card. I'm going to be at the November fight. #1 XFC to watch I'm interested to see this Ivory and Jacob Mahoney. Jacob Mahoney's a fucking he's a little legend at that weight. I fought him before. He's a good dude, and he's got skills, man. He's time and time again proven himself. He's got his stats up there. He's fought a lot. And this Ivory, I don't know too much about him, but you know, I think I'm gonna I'll be behind Mahoney for that one. I'm really excited to see that fight, but most of all, I want to see the 266 kilo champions go at it. Shane Young and Adrian Rodriguez. I'll be there to see what goes on there, because that's my meal ticket right there. So I'm gonna be interested to see, and I'm excited for that. So
yeah, yep. Yeah, so what do you reckon might happen, you know, if after the fight you're going to jump in the cage and start hyping the fight, or what's the...
Mate, you know, I just, that's the thing, man, with the hype game for me too is I don't make this shit up. You know, I act on my feelings, you know, and it is all truth. I don't really make any shit up. It's how I feel. It's how I think, you know what I mean? And the funny thing is that people do find that humorous, but I'm not too sure... I'm actually trying to be that funny. I'm just putting it out there.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's it. And that's the thing. I mean, if I feel like it, you know, who knows what I'll fucking do. But I am a hype guy, and you know, who knows what'll happen. But I'm definitely going to see that fight. You probably will see me up there. They might even ask me to come up and you know, and have a chat, because I will be main eventing the following XFC.
Yeah.
We haven't got an opponent as yet, but we'll see who they give me. We'll see what we get, and I'm excited. I'll take anyone, you know what I mean? But I do want the best. Yeah. I do want the very best they can give me, and Justin Lawrence, he'll do that. He'll make sure that you know, he puts the best in there.
Hey, I was just thinking, was there any fighters that you used to look up to, you know, when you first started getting into the fight game? Like, you know, were you a Bruce Lee or a Muhammad Ali guy?
Oh, man, fuck Bruce Lee, man. I was a Muhammad Ali guy for sure. Muhammad Ali, Mike Tyson, all day, every day. Loved them. Loved them both, you know what I mean? That's the thing. I love these guys, you know what I mean? And that's why I do what I do. And I'm just learning from the best, you know. I love Mundine. I love what he does, you know, and I think it's smart. I think those guys are smart. You know, people weigh things up in their own heads so differently. I measure greatness and you know, intelligence in these sorts of ways. So, you know, Muhammad Ali, what he does inside and outside the ring, Mike Tyson, you know, and guys like Mundine soon after that taught me a lot. You know what I mean?
Yeah, Mundine's done a great job. Like, I live in Alice Springs, you know, and every time I go to watch a fight, I mean, all the Aboriginal people are there hoping that he loses. So, but yeah, at the end of the day, they're all there paying to watch the fight. So
that's it. That's exactly right. You got haters. You got people that love you. You got people that hate you. You know, that's every single fucking soul counts. Yeah. Every single one. You know what I mean? Every single one counts. The thing is, too, is that, you know, I mean, Bruce Lee, you mentioned before, he was a purist, you know. He was a marsh. He was an artist, you know. He didn't really say too much unless it was, precisely had something to do with, you know, martial arts and, you know, way of living and everything like that. You know, that's the only time he would speak, and you know, that's good. But I think what makes a such a more greater athlete is the humor and the personality behind it too. And I think that's why, you know, Muhammad Ali was so big, in my opinion. I think far greater than Bruce Lee. You know, Bruce Lee was doing things a long time ago, and so was Muhammad Ali. But I mean, I compare the two.
Yeah, I suppose Bruce Lee would have been your weight division as well. That's if he was a current day fighter. How do you reckon you would have gone there?
Who knows? I've already fought him. I fought
him on the UFC game.
Yeah, I fought him in Bruce Lee in my last fight, apparently.
Yeah, yeah. The American Bruce Lee.
Yeah, that's it, mate. That's it.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah. Yeah, is there any sponsors or anyone that you want to thank? Anyone that's helped you get to this point?
Yeah, man, there's a lot of people. Fuck, man, there's so many people that have helped me get here. They know who they are. But at the moment, you know, I'm running with, you know, a few different people. The Young Hearts, they're helping me out. There's a company called Badger Honey. Those guys are doing cool things for me. And Skull and Bones over in the UK, they're a cool company. They're doing good things for me too.
Well, what do they do?
That's just all apparel, man. Just all apparel. They make some special shirts for me and stuff like that. And the Young Hearts are the same, but an Australian company. Two different sort of genres of things. But I mean, the fight gear for me, it's like, you know, it's like the Bruce Lee shit. You know what I mean? I'm into market. You know, I'm into the marketing side of things, and I like to give people what they're going to wear and something that's going to look good, rather than something they're going to go and train in. So I like to stick with street apparel as sponsors.
Yeah,
that's just what I do.
Ah, cool. Oh well, yeah, thanks for coming on the show, and we'll try and get your name out there a bit more, and we'll be looking forward to 2015 anyway, and we'll get you back on. When you got the belt around your waist,
mate, I'm coming to get the strap. I'm coming to get the XFC strap. I don't know who's gonna have it. I don't care. I'm coming to take that thing. I want to prove that I'm the best. I was the best Bantam. I'm gonna prove it by being the best 66 kilo featherweight fighter. I'm excited for XFC. I want to just say, don't miss the next fight, November 1. XFC is one of the biggest, if not the best, promotion in the country. I mean, these guys, if you look back far enough, have brought in, and set off the guys like, you know, Kyle Noak, Hector Lombard, which Justin actually managed the both of them at one stage. Soteropoulos has fought his debut, I think, on XFC, Tahuna, Dylan Andrews, you know, like everyone that sort of, and so many more, man. You look it up. This company's been around. They're the original OG. They went off the tracks for a little bit, and they shut down for a while, but they're back now and better than ever. And they're finding the best talent. They're putting it out there, and I want everyone to make sure they get down at the next show, November 1. I'll be there, and then I will be fighting in February, maybe early March, for the show after that. I want to give a big shout out to XFC and thank Justin for signing me up and putting me on the show. And I want to also say that anyone who's going to get in my way, you're going to be upset. I think anyone who's sitting at home right now thinking that I'm going to come out there and anything like, you know, I felt in my last fight, then I think they're sick and they're mistaken. And they're that sick that I'm going to feed them their medicine and they're going to get every fucking dose. So.
Sounds good.
Yeah. All right, man.
All right.
Thanks heaps for the little sit down and little chit chat.
All right, no worries. I'll catch up with you soon.
Awesome, mate.
All right,
guys, that was episode 2. I hope you guys enjoyed. Jules the Jackal is an interesting character. And, we wish him all the best in the future. And don't forget to check us out at thefightfactory.com.au.